Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is the Frey Podcast, brought to you by thefrey.com, a place for women who want more from life. This is what I want. This is what I need. If you don't have to go, I can set you free. Are you gonna make a move? Are you gonna come and see? Whatever you wanna do, you know it's cool with me. Welcome to today's podcast. This one is a conversation with Nat, also known as Kiki and the Quads. You may have seen her on Instagram, where Nat shares her family life, which includes having 5 young children and being a mum of quads, as the name suggests. So Nat and I get into her journey of finding out she was pregnant with 4 babies at once, what it was like during pregnancy, what the early weeks of having 4 newborns and a toddler was really like, and how she maintains her really positive, sunny disposition. Nat was an absolute breath of fresh air to speak with, and I think you'll really enjoy this conversation. So let's get into my chat with Nat from Kiki and the Quads. Nat, thank you so much for taking time out of your one child-free day to have this conversation with me. I've been so looking forward to speaking with you.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Do people call you Kiki? Because your Instagram is Kiki and the Quads.
All the time they message me, like private message me on Instagram, like, hi Kiki, just wondering. And then I have to do the awkward, like, oh, that's actually my daughter's name. I'm Nat. They're like, oh my gosh, sorry. All the time.
I can imagine when you're out and about as well, if someone follows you, they'll be like, oh, hey, it's Kiki and the Quads.
Yeah, that happens a lot actually. And sometimes I feel sorry for the person, I don't even correct them. But yes, if I'm writing back, I do say, oh, like from Nat, in other words, like what?
So Kiki is your firstborn?
Yes, yeah, our 4-year-old.
Yeah, and then you went on to have 4 at once.
Yeah.
Overachiever.
Yeah, me. Yes, overachieving.
Tell me, like, what was it like when you found out that you were pregnant with 4 babies at once?
Honestly, like, I still can't even describe that feeling of, okay, to be honest, I thought I was having twins. So I went into my scan. I was really sick really early on, and twins ran in my family, and I was adamant that I was having twins. So I
And asked, was this a, sorry, just to jump in here, did you conceive naturally?
No.
Okay.
So I used what they call ovulation induction to conceive both Kiana, our firstborn, and we went through the exact same process that we used to conceive Kiki for the Quads to try and get baby number 2. Ended up with 2, 3, 4, and 5. So I actually went into that scan like adamant I was having twins because I was quite unwell. And yeah, the feeling is indescribable because you can't comprehend, like, no one has 4 babies at once. No one does that. That's not normal. That's like, what? You're kidding. And he's like, no, like, there's 4 beating hearts in there.
So did the sonographer put the thing on your stomach and you were like, you know what? I think that you're going to find 2 heartbeats.
Yeah, well, I said, is there any chance I can film this? Because I'm pretty sure I'm having twins. And he was like, no policy, we can't. I was like, okay, I understand. But my goodness, I wish I would pay so much money to see my face or see my husband's face or see the sonographer's face again, because it's obviously a bit of a blur now. But complete shock and disbelief, honestly, disbelief.
Yeah. Did you laugh? Did you cry?
Awkward, like, what?
Yeah.
Very much like an awkward laugh. And yeah, it was, yeah, he was, yeah.
So where to from there? When you heard the words, there are 4 heartbeats, I imagine you're having a reaction, your partner's having a reaction. What's the next step there? Because I know myself having twins,
the sonographer said to me, you're automatically considered a high-risk pregnancy, which now sounds laughable in comparison to having four at once. But is that, you know, were you kind of like, okay, you're going to now have to go down the, I don't know whether you were intending on going to, through private care. Like, was it just like a whole other conversation of where to from here?
Yes. Well, you know, it's, I was not familiar with multiple pregnancies at all. So when he said, like, you know, this is actually an extremely high-risk pregnancy, you need to contact, you know, your healthcare provider, a GP, immediately, and you'll need to fly down to Perth. We were living remotely up in, you know, a community like 16 hours north of Perth. So,
oh, truly.
Yeah, so we had to fly down to Perth to see the specialist. But yeah, then we obviously unfortunately got given all of the options to not, you know, to terminate the entire pregnancy, to selectively reduce it back to twins because it was safer for me and the babies. Yeah, so it was quite a tough week because they want you to make those decisions fast.
How far along were you?
I was only 7 weeks when it was like a dating scan because we had fertility to help me ovulate. They like you to have a dating scan quite early so you can see basically when. They can't go. I wasn't getting a period. I wasn't getting a period. I wasn't ovulating. That's why I needed to use some fertility treatment. So a normal person could kind of backtrack their period and be like,
yes, and no, roughly.
But because I'd never got my own cycle, they do what's called a dating scan so they can see how far along you are. So I was only 7 weeks when we found out.
And did they tell you, okay, you're only 7 weeks? You might find that naturally this pregnancy doesn't progress.
That's
or
right. Yeah.
Naturally maybe only one pregnancy will continue.
Yes.
But then they're also asking you to make decisions as well.
Yeah, they said there was a massive possibility that your body will just terminate the entire pregnancy itself. And I was more okay with that because maybe that was nature in my body saying like it wasn't safe than having to make that decision myself to say, you know what, let's get rid of two of them because it's just not something I could do.
And particularly when you're so sick as well.
Yes.
Like I know myself, I was really unwell with the boys and I can only imagine times that by another two. It's really, really hard to think straight.
Yeah.
When you can't eat, when you can't keep things down, when you're just nauseous 24/7.
Yeah.
How did you guys make the decision to keep progressing?
Like I said, I think if my body, we were just, together, Khan and I were kind of like, once we'd seen those, we'd flown to Perth, we'd seen their heartbeats again and they were all still there. And like, just, I just had this feeling like I knew, and I said to my mom and I said to Khan, like, we're going to have four babies at the end of this. Like I'm having four babies. There was no doubt in my mind. I just, once we'd made that decision, I was so adamant and I just knew like that they were going to be okay and we were going to be okay.
And so what was pregnancy like for you?
Oh, I was quite unwell for the first 16 weeks. Like I had a little bit of morning sickness and nausea with Kiana's pregnancy, my firstborn, but this was like, you know, the full vomiting and like it was a lot.
Imagine like you would have been on those Ondensetron Zofran wafers, but like, they don't do anything.
Popping them left, right, and center. I'm like, it says you can only have four a day. I'm like, well, I've got four in there, so can I have
four times four, 16?
They really maybe took the slight edge off. But after about 16 weeks, that kind of did disappear, believe it or not. But then came the, like, I'm a pretty fit and healthy person, and I still continue to move my body, not to the capacity I normally would, but the pelvic pain and the rib pain, like I'm quite a short person and it felt like a monster tearing my ribs apart, like the burning rib pain that I had. I experienced it with Kiana too, but this was, I honestly for 3 months had like an ice pack or a heat pack. It was like cold, hot, just holding on my ribs because the burning pain. I remember just crying in one of my scans to my specialist and I was like, I need something, like this burning rib pain is killing me. And he was kind of scanning. He's like, yeah, well, you've got like two of the heads are right up under your ribs, you know? And I'm like, oh, well, that's probably why they probably are tearing it apart. I don't know. But
did you end up with broken ribs?
I don't know, but still to this day, I have a little bit of tenderness up there. It's like they bruise me forever. Like it's
yeah.
Turning on.
Because I ended up with a cracked rib because of the positioning of one of the boys. And it's, I remember thinking, I just can't put a bra on.
Yeah, like so sore.
So, yeah, oh, yeah. You poor little thing. I can
I move, like, the day before I went in to have them, I still plodded along to the gym. My mother-in-law was working at a gym, like she was managing a gym. And I was like, I want to come, I want to get out of the house. So I just like maybe sat on the bike for 15 minutes. But I was really like consistent with moving. And most people, I was a part of a quad pregnancy page on Facebook. And most of those ladies were in the States, but you know, they all were on bed rest. Like no one did anything. Honestly, 90% of them ended up on bed rest for the last half of their pregnancy. And I was so adamant, like, yeah, I just kept moving. And I think being maybe a little bit fit and healthy before probably helped, but I did end up in a wheelchair. Like we were taking our, you know, 2-year-old at the time around the zoo and things. And I just couldn't walk for that long because of my rib and pelvic pain. So Khan would just push me around in a wheelchair if we went to the supermarket or the zoo. And I was abnormally big. Like I never thought it at the time, but now I look back because people would stare and people would be like, you must be having more than one. And I was kind of would get offended like, oh, but I look back, I was insanely massive. I'm a little body, a short person.
How tall are you?
163.
Okay. Yeah.
So small. I'm short and like I put on 25 kilos in like 30 weeks. Like I just went from 65 to 90 in a very short period of time. And they just sucked the life out of me. Like I was just this ginormous quadruple basketball. I don't know.
And did you have to move throughout your pregnancy? Because I imagine there's a lot more monitoring involved. And you mentioned you were living remotely.
Yeah. So we had to relocate down to Perth. My specialist asked me to be in the city from 24 weeks onwards. So yeah, we actually, my husband is a police officer and they were really kind in granting him like a compassionate transfer back down to the city. Because where we were living in the remote community, there was no resources for a multiple birth at all. And being so high risk, and they obviously, the chances of going into preterm labor with multiples is really high. They expected, you know, me kind of around that 30 week mark at the most. So
how did you mentally look after yourself through pregnancy? Because you already had Kiki.
Yeah.
So you already have an idea of what's ahead of you times four.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a different thing going into it with your first pregnancy. You'd probably feel a bit anxious and apprehensive. But when you've been through it, it's almost like, okay, I've seen the unseeable and I know what's ahead. Did you have those feelings and thoughts?
You know, I think like I'm a real, sometimes to my disadvantage or my advantage, I'm like quite a, I just always try and see the positives in life, and I feel like the universe gives us what we can handle. I think I am glad I had a baby first, because God forbid having none and ending up with quads first. Like that would be like,
there's a local girl in
town who's reached out to me. She's had triplets and they're her first babies. And I'm like, you have no idea. Like even now I have no idea what I'm doing as a parent sometimes, but at least I'd had the experience of having one. So I somewhat knew what I was doing, you know, but multiples is next level anyway. But I feel like I'm glad we had Kiki first, because I kind of had some clue of what was going on.
One of my girlfriends has just had her second son in a very close time, and she has said that the second pregnancy and the second newborn phase, and of course this is worlds apart, you know, but she said that it's easier after the firstborn because she does know that the phases end.
Yes.
Whereas sometimes with your firstborn, you're like, oh my gosh, I'll never sleep again. Oh my gosh, yeah. I'll never get the hang of this.
And you forget, don't you? Like I look back at the newborn phases of having the quads and, you know, it was like those 3-hourly feeds, you would know with the boys. And, you know, we kind of had this rotation. So my mom and my mother-in-law kindly took off like 6 months off work to help us. We were like around the clock. We just had this routine. Like, so the 9 p.m. feed would be me and my mum, and then the, you know, 1 a.m. feed would be Khan and his mum, or what, you would just have this. And by the time we kind of fed them, burped them, changed them, got them back to sleep, like the next, you know, it was just
rinse and repeat.
And you forget that sleep deprivation. And I am so blessed. Like the quads are great sleepers. They have slept through for the longest time. Unless they're sick, like I'm a routine person, but they're pretty darn good. And the odd time they might be unwell and they wake up once in the night, I'm like, what is this? Like, but you forget there was a period where I was getting no sleep at all, you know, but you just, like you said, it's just a period and a phase. And at the time you think, how, why, like I'm going to die, but you don't, you get through and to the next phase.
During your pregnancy, How often were you having scans and monitoring? What was that like for you?
So it started, in the end, it was weekly, like every single week. I think it kind of went from monthly to fortnightly. And then, yeah, in those last couple of months, it was every single week. But my specialist, he was great. He was super happy with how I was, you know, plodding along. And yeah, I kind of went to him crying at about 30 weeks being like, you know, it's enough. They've had enough. I've had enough. He was like, you're still smiling, like they can stay in there. And I just remember going home crying. And I would, every week my husband would tease me because I would be the night before, like just make a script that I'm going to say to him, like, no, you know, they've had enough time. They need to come out. And I'd get in there and I would just like say nothing like a big hero, because obviously, as you know, the longer that they're inside me, the better it is for them. But I was so uncomfortable and I was ready to have them out. And I'd got 30 weeks. I set myself a goal. Like I'd, you know, done all this research of how far along other quads had got. And I was like, as long as I get to 30 weeks, like I've smashed my goal. But yeah, I managed to get to 34, which is incredible for them because they're super healthy little cherubs. So
34 weeks is amazing. Mm. And then a C-section?
Yes, yeah. You don't have a choice. I think with twins, they can give you the option to deliver naturally, because while you are delivering one, they're monitoring the other one in your belly. Whereas with quads, if I was delivering one, they don't know who they are kind of monitoring, because there's three other babies in there. They might be monitoring one, but the other two could be struggling. So there's no safe way to make sure that the three in your belly, because they kind of can't tell who they're monitoring because there's so many arms and legs and heartbeats in there.
That makes sense. And did they go straight into special care?
Yeah, so they were in NICU for only 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, they all, one little Frankie, she was born just under 2 kilos, but the other three were all over 2 kilos. And they were on CPAP or a little bit of breathing assistance for 24, 48 hours at the most. And I think they were kind of more in the NICU for 2 weeks, just learning to breathe, learning to feed. They were obviously getting fed through the nasal gastric tubes, and then their sucking reflexes weren't quite there. So after the first week, we were just kind of slowly incorporating the bottle until they learnt how to suck feed. And then, yeah, we were super blessed. Like,
Did they all come home together?
Yes, we had the option to bring home one, potentially two, like at 3 weeks. But then we waited because we still had a tenant actually renting our house out, and it just worked out better. We just waited and brought them all home together at the 1 month mark. Yeah.
And what was that like, bringing home four newborns? What was it like for you, but also what was it like for Kiki, your toddler?
Well, you know, we thought she was so grown up, but when we look back at photos now, she was just
a baby.
She's still a baby now. Like, she's only four, but she was two. So I look at the quads now and I think that's how old Kiki was when the quads came home. Like, I can't even imagine, but I think we kind of not forced her to grow up, which is a little bit sad, but she was their big sister, but she was just a baby. She's still like 100% dependent on us for everything. But like, I just posted a picture on my Instagram last night, actually, of Kiana. She was sitting in our theater on like the recliner, and she had like puzzle pieces. They were numbers, and somehow she'd got all the quads to line up. They were sitting down on the ground with their backs against the wall, and she was like holding up each number like she was the teacher. I was like, A, how did you get them to sit and be still and quiet and listen to you? And like, it just melted my heart, because I remember, not like say 6 months ago, I'd be talking to my friends saying, I can't wait till the quads are like a little bit older where they can join in on that imaginary play. Like, Kiana wants to be the shopkeeper and you be the customer. Because 6 months ago, Kiana would build a tower and the quads would just destroy it. Like, they just weren't quite. And I walked in last night, I'm like, oh, you don't want to wish their lives or their seasons away. But I thought, oh my gosh, they're at that.
It's time. A glimpse.
Playing, like, and it's only going to get better. Like, that would have to be one of the most amazing things when people say, like, what's the best thing? It's the bond. Like, you know yourself when you have one baby, everything they do, you're like, you've got rose colored glasses and you think they're the cutest things ever. And they're like, every little milestone they make, like, oh my God, they did this, this, and this. And like, you know, that's the blessing of having multiple children, is I get that five times over. Like, every little dance they do or word they say, or watching Kiana, you know, teach them last night, I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I am so blessed, coming from someone that for, you know, 6 years couldn't conceive, and now I have these five adorable, crazy little, you know, munchkins running around. But yeah, I'm super blessed.
It is so true. You get five times the first words and the smiles and the hugs, but then you also get that crossover, seeing their bond.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Really special.
Like, obviously, your boys are older, and I hope that my kids, Khan and I, are very family orientated, and we have close families, and I just pray that my kids like stay super close and that they have an awesome bond.
I'm sure they will. When you bought home the quads, did you have plans to sort of go straight into using a routine? Were you like, you know what, this is going to be how we do it? Or did you think we'll play it fast and loose? Did you have like a...
I am a routine person.
Yeah, okay.
Like I am. I think we ended up in a routine and it was just easier. Like you never want to be that mum like, oh, I can't do that. That's when my kids nap, or I can't. But like I don't just have one kid, or I don't just have two kids. So
you need it to survive.
You do. And it just makes everyone's life easier. We have like an amazing village of people that helped us and still help us. And we had these books, like I was gifted these books and they just saved my life. Like I'm quite old school. I write everything down still. I'm not super like technology savvy. So I had these books and it was like when they're fed, how much they were fed, when they slept, like everything was just recorded. So anyone that came to help us or
log books.
Yeah, like and it saved my
life. We did the same thing.
And it just made everyone's life easier. We knew what was going on. And then like the people that helped us every week, they knew when their routine slightly changed, or, you know, as they get older and they might not sleep as much and what have you. But we did end up, and to be honest, I have pretty well stuck even now. Like they still nap from this time to this time. And depending on when they wake up is when they go to bed. So yes, I definitely am a routine person. Makes my life easier.
You're in good company. I'm all for it. I've always spoken about routine. And yeah, it sometimes gets a bad rap because you do become that parent often that's like, oh, can we do it at this time because that works with their sleep, or can we meet at that time because they'll be happier and they play. But it really is like a tool in surviving and being able to thrive, because Absolutely. It gives you that structure. It gives you that time to go, there is going to be an end to this day. Yeah. So then you can show up and be the mum that you want to be during those wake times.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because if you push it out, then you've got grumpy kids, and then, or they might be overtired, not sleep. And you're the one, like, I'm the one that has to come home with them and deal with, like, you, your friends might say, oh, no, it's fine. Don't worry. They're okay. Look, they're happy. I'm like, yeah, they're happy now. But then I'm going home with an overtired.
We're 5 minutes away from a disaster.
Yeah. And you're not coming home to help me. So, yeah, that's right. Like, you never, and I definitely, you know, push the boundaries. But all in all, yeah, I thrive on routine, like, for myself personally and for my family.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And you mentioned that you had your mum and Khan's mum helping with night feeds and things like that. How long did you have that overnight help for? If you remember,
I'm going to say 6 months. Yeah. I know that Khan's mum went back to work around 6 months, and maybe my mum 9. So yeah, a good first half of that year. Yeah. And as I said, we were lucky. They started sleeping through maybe before they were 1, you know, probably around that 9 month mark, you know, consistently. Yeah, so and we still have an amazing village of help. Like every night we have someone come around to help bath, dinner, just those crazy hours, kind of from like 4 till 7. Kiki, you know, she, not that she needs, we still want to read her a book at night, and she still needs help. And I feel Khan and I can do it by ourselves, don't get me wrong, but it's not fun. It becomes more like a chore and a production line. So having that extra set of hands, it means we can really enjoy that time with the kids, not be like, okay, in our bath, or, you know, what have you.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we still have an amazing village.
How have you navigated, you know, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but just as a fellow mum, how have you navigated any feelings of mum guilt surrounding spreading yourself across 5 young kids?
It is definitely a high on the negative of having so many kids. When people ask what are the hardest parts, I've got a couple, but that would definitely be one, because I'm by myself. I have help a lot, but I'm also by myself a lot. And with 4 2-year-olds, there's always one that's, you know, had a toy snatched off them or might be feeling a bit down. And you want to comfort. As a mum or a parent, you want to comfort your kids when they're not feeling 100%. And when I'm cuddling one and then someone else needs me, like I physically don't have enough hands and I never will have enough hands, but it's just learning, like if I'm cuddling one and someone else needs me, like I sit down and say, okay, Madison, like move over, Frankie can, you know, come have a cuddle too. They're kind of at that stage now where like if you're cuddling one, they're like, no, no, to the other one, like they don't want to share your cuddles. But I guess they will just learn. Right now, they don't know that their situation is unique. You know, they're only two, but maybe as they grow up, they'll realize that having 4 siblings born on the same day as you isn't normal. But they have, like, our help that comes, and we've kind of not narrowed it down, but the 5 or 6 people that help us every single week and have done for the last 2 years now, they are a part of our family. Like, my kids love them and they love my kids. So they, our kids get a lot of love from both Khan and I and their grandparents and our amazing village. But the mum guilt is awful, because especially when they're sick, and we have been hammered for the last 2 years. We have been absolutely hammered with so much sickness, and it breaks my heart. Like when I'm cuddling one and one is just sitting there looking at me like, mum, I need you too. Like it is awful, but I just do my best. Like I can only do what I can, you know, I can physically do, but I speak to them a lot. Like while I'm cuddling Frankie, I'll be saying, my oha, like I'm just giving Frankie a cuddle because she's not feeling great. And then I will, you know, I'll come to see you. But yeah, I hope that they feel as loved as I love them.
Yeah, I'm sure that they would. And I think that's such a beautiful point that you raised there, Nat, about they get love from their village as well. Yeah. You know, like you are not only fountain of love in their life. And to sort of encourage that and to look at the gifts of that, and I guess to also just accept your limitations and go, you know what, there's always going to be a fire that I need to put out. Like I'll be in the middle of putting one out and there's another one burning over there, and it's just a continual surrender, accept, surrender, accept.
It's yeah, it's the rare time when I'm like not needing to comfort anyone.
What do you do for yourself, like to look after your I guess mental health and to meet your own needs? Because I can only imagine when you've got 5 such young dependents on you, it is hard to look after yourself and meet those needs. But have you found a way to sort of do that for yourself?
I do. As I said, I love like my fitness and moving my body. So I 30 minutes a day at least, like I'm super lucky. I get to my local CrossFit gym maybe like 4 mornings a week. I go to a 5:15 class and literally race out the door and get back so Khan can walk out the door at 6:30. Or we have a home gym set up just like you, so I will get out there. I also like have started probably only in the last maybe 3 to 6 months is when the kids nap. I don't have anyone at my house during that time, because we've had a lot of people at our house a lot throughout the first few years, and we still have. I don't like to say it's a negative, because I never want any of my amazing helpers, well, they're my friends, to take that the wrong way, because without them, like, we would not be this happy family unit. It would have been really hard work. I'm forever grateful that they have selflessly given their time to help Khan and I raise these kids. But it is hard always having people in your house. Always.
Yeah, always being on.
It's like, and it's just like you can't always wear what you want. I can't walk out in my knickers, or I can't, like, you know, you just anything. Even like having a Khan and I might, he might do something that I might like, oh, I might do something, but we can't even have a heated discussion because there's, you know, people's, you know, like just.
Yes. Oh, I'm sitting here nodding because like, I can remember being like, I can't even walk out to my kitchen without a bra on.
Anything. Yeah. Like one of my kids might be whinging and I might just be happy to leave them because kids just whinge. Or I might just want to sit and scroll mindlessly on my phone for 5 minutes. But if I got someone here, I'm like, they're probably thinking your kid's whinging. Why are you just sitting on your phone? You know, anything. So this sounds terrible.
No, it doesn't. It's so refreshing like, to hear.
And like, I don't want any of my helpers. Like, they will all listen to this because I've told them that I was coming to chat to you today. And I
they'll understand what you're saying.
They do understand. And honestly, the core 5 that we have, like they're like my second mums and nans to my kids now. And they, as I said, I'm an open book. I leave so I just do what I want now anyway. But I've made sure that when my kids nap, it used to be earlier, but say now from 12 till 2, I don't have anyone at my house, and I try and sit outside in the sun for 10 minutes and read my book, or I do my exercise, or I just make my lunch and sit in peace and do meditation or watch something on Netflix. And Khan, my husband, has really encouraged me to do that, because I really struggled with always needing to get things done. And I actually listened to one, it was on one of your podcasts, about being okay that there's always going to be dishes or there's always going to be washing, because we're forever eating, we're forever wearing clothes. And I was just always that person that had to, don't sit down until it's done. But then I would spend the 3 hours my kids napping, running around doing everything, and then they'd wake up. And then, like, it's go time. When you've got five little kids under the age of four, it is go time 24/7. So I would never get me time. And I kind of was slowly feeling like I'm getting to that burnt out time. So now I will make myself lunch and I'll sit down, if it's for 10 minutes or half an hour, and think that can wait, because there is always going to be stuff to be done around the house. That is just life. So for me, like, Khan has been so good in just encouraging me, like, babe, I don't care if there's dishes when I get home. Just, you can't be on the go all the time. Women, moms, I think we're all guilty of that. But I do. The last 6 months, I've been like reading and going for walks and just doing something to fill my cup. And you, as cliche as it sounds, you can't pour from an empty cup. And it makes me a better mum, makes me a nicer wife, you know, all those things. We know it, but it's sometimes you just feel guilty. I feel guilty sitting on the couch eating my lunch when I can see a pile of washing to be folded.
Yeah, absolutely. That acceptance that the work day, like the homework day, is never done. There's never a time when there's nothing to wash or nothing to put away, no dishes. It's just that perpetual having to remind yourself, accept that it's going to exist and go and do something for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hard to do. Yes. You mentioned there that Khan's really supportive and encourages you to have your own time, which is so beautiful. How has having five young children impacted, I guess, your romantic relationship, but even not just your partnership with Khan, like friendships and things like that? Because I imagine your life might be quite hard for some people to relate to.
Yeah. For our friends, like, we're super lucky. I guess they just have to come to us. Sometimes, you know, and in those earlier days, like, you come to us, and we have, I guess, you know, our friends that may not have kids, or, you know, that they might go out for dinner every Friday and Saturday night or do those things. Like, we just can't do those things. We can't afford to do those things. And we've got all these little kids at home. Like, we get to do a lot and we make sure that we get to do things, but we're just in a different season of our life, and that's okay. And it might be now that Khan and I will go to CrossFit together on a Saturday morning and we take our kids. And we've got a few friends that have kids that are, say, 11 and 13, and their kids come and watch ours so we can train together, which is so beautiful. And we're, like, again, super grateful. And then we might just all go to the park together and grab a coffee. Like, times are just different. And we're okay with that. Khan and I aren't, like, people that go clubbing on the weekend or whatever. If anything, we'd just like to go out for dinner, kid-free. But, yeah, our friends, like, our true friends, have stuck by us and have been amazing help and helped us to whatever capacity. Like, our friends have kids or they have businesses. Like, they can't all be, you know, helping us, but they all help us in some way or another to the best that they can. And as for our marriage, Khan and I have been together for, like, I was 18. We've been together for a long time. I'm about to be 33. So, yeah, we have been through lots of ups and downs, but if anything, it's probably just made us stronger. It's hard, I'm not going to lie. Like, those first few months when you're sleep deprived, and I say I'm a routine person, Khan would say I'm a control freak, is how he would describe
it. It's a very fine line, my love.
And I am, like, really working. I find myself, like, I'll go to say something, I'm like, nope. And I remember having Kiana, and the child healthcare nurse said to me, your husband will do things differently to you, and that is okay. And I always try and remind myself of that. As long as my kids are safe, which they 100% are with him, then it's okay that he does things differently.
And you know what? I'd even go a bridge further, Nat, and say it's not just okay. And as a recovering control freak as well, always continual recovery, it's not just okay. It's actually good for them. Like, it's really, really good for kids to have that resilience of, oh, this is getting done slightly different. But in saying that, I totally get why you freak out a little bit, because it's you develop these systems, and it's like these systems are crucial to survival and being able to thrive.
Yeah.
And I often like just reflect again, like with my boys, and I think if there was just one of them, I probably would have allowed them to develop more resilience or do more things on their own. But it was easier for me to put their shoes on because it's like left, right, boom, let's get out the door. Like, you know, whereas for you as well, it's just easier for you to dress them all versus sitting there patiently for half an hour letting. Yes, totally. Yeah. So these systems that serve us, you know, sometimes they're a double-edged sword, but we do need them.
We do.
I'm with you.
No, Khan and I, we do great. I mean, he has taught me to communicate. I was like a bottler upper arm, and then 2 weeks later be like, but you said this. He's like, what, 2 weeks ago?
Classic move.
Well, he's really taught me to just communicate, and I think that is so important. Like we have a unique situation and it is full on, and we don't have a lot of time for ourselves, honestly. It's like at the end of the day, I have been giving so much energy to five little dependents. Like, don't touch me. Don't talk to me. Like, I just want to sit here and do
nothing. Don't need anything from me.
But years ago I read the Love Languages book, and we've recently kind of like re-gone over that because I feel like that really makes sense to Khan and I, and we do have different love languages. And I think it's just we have been through, you know, the ebbs and flows of relationships, and there's been times prior to conceiving we went through, you know, a rough patch where neither of us handled not being able to conceive very well when all of our friends were falling pregnant, and we become very complacent. You know, we'd been together maybe 7 to 10 years and we just became passing ships in the night, and you just stop. You stop trying, you stop any communication, and you just live. But we are both very much like the grass is greener where you water it. Like, we will forever just keep choosing each other because we made that choice. And he is an amazing husband and amazing dad. I'm so, so lucky because our life is freaking crazy. Like, it is crazy. No one really, unless you've like lived a day in our life, and people come then help us, but then they get to go home, right?
Yeah, their shift ends.
You know, like, our shift doesn't end in this house. So I think like we've done a bloody good job. And if you ask Khan, I'm sure he'd say the same, that we are probably the strongest we've ever been in our relationship. And I'm just super blessed that I've got, like, he makes me laugh. He's a little bit of a clown, sometimes too much of a clown when I'm trying to be my serious routine control freak. But I think like we complement each other. Yeah, it's not easy, but we both know like when we start to get complacent, and you can feel that we just both need to up our game a little bit, you know, like he needs to do more chores around the house. I need to initiate love time more, you know, bit of give and take.
You know, something general, like these exact specific things. excuse me for coughing there in the background. It's always the way when I'm recording, but you can see. Like, I can see how genuinely happy and positive you are, and it's so beautiful to hear a little bit more about your journey. Have you had times throughout the last couple of years where you've just felt purely overwhelmed and like, it sounds awful to say, but like, why me? Like, why is this my reality? Or have you always maintained that positive kind of disposition?
I definitely have that positive demeanor. It is who I am, and I feel I've always kind of been that way. I will say, yes, I have felt that way, and no one likes admitting that out loud. And
I think every parent has.
Yes, of course.
To be clear, I think every parent has had a moment where they're like, oh my gosh, why, how is this my reality?
Yes. And I have, when all the kids are sick and that mum guilt and I can't hug them all, or when I'm sick of having people in my house, or when I get jealous. There's been times where, why can't I just have one or two kids? Why can't I be normal? Why can't I throw Kiana and my second baby in the car and go down to the grocery store? Or like, it's not, that's a really hard thing I find. I'm a go-getter. And like, I've kind of trained Khan to be the same. I don't want to sit at home all day because it's too hard to take my kids out. I want them to experience the park and the beach, and I want to get to the gym and take them with me or whatever. And I find I struggled with, it's not safe for me to do anything by myself. So I'm always asking people to help me. So even though I'm capable of taking all my kids to the park. It's not safe. What happens if one runs onto the road, one's fallen off the slide, one's, you know, I can do it, but it's not safe. I can't safely take 5 kids under the age of 4 to the beach. Whereas if I had Kiana, who's fine at the beach, and one baby, I could sit with my baby and Keeks could splash and it's fine. But I always feel like I'm forever asking, if I want to do anything, I have to always rely on other people. And that sucks. And as I said, I've got a village of a core group of people that have helped us. Before having the quads, they were people I knew but they're literally a part of our family now, and they're happy to help me. So I'm so grateful and blessed for that. But I always have to ask people, like, I want to go to the park on the weekend. Can you come? You know, and that, like, I get overwhelmed because I just want to go and do something, but it's not safe. It's not that I can't or I don't want to. It's just, it wouldn't be a smart move, you know?
Yeah.
No, I do feel that way. And I always try, and my kids don't miss out. Like, someone did say to me the other day about, oh, your kids, you know, poor little things. They don't get, you know, they miss out on normal things like going to the grocery store. And I got quite teary eyed, a little bit like defensive. I was like, yeah, they don't go to the grocery store because I can't physically push a trolley and a quad pram at the same time.
No, like, of course
they
not.
Don't. I do click and collect 90% of the time. And Madison, because she's sick home from daycare today, she actually got to come to the grocery store with me this morning. Lucky girl. But people, I'm like, well, if you have 4 2-year-olds, then you can tell me, you know, that my kids are missing out on simple things like going to the grocery store. And yes, they might, but I make up for it. Like, they don't miss out. I take them wherever I can that's safe and I've got the help. But that's probably one thing I really struggle with, is I know people are willing to help, but it's not nice always asking people to help so I can do something.
Yeah. And even when you were just telling that story then about saying, oh, like, your poor kids, they miss out on going to the grocery store. No, they're not missing out on going to the grocery store. I don't think that's many people's integral, joyful memory of their childhood, and you can tell that they are in such a loving family dynamic. They're not missing out on anything. And I can also see for you, just that's like, it just speaks to what a good mum you truly are, to accept your limitations in keeping your kids safe.
Yeah.
Because to speak to the ego, it would be so nice to be like, this is fine. I can take my quads and my 4-year-old out, you know, because you value capability as part of your identity, I imagine. And so to have to concede, you know, you're capable, but to concede in going to keep these kids safe, I can't do this on my own. What an amazing mum you are to, like, know your limitations.
And you know, like, if I'm going to recruit help, like if I'm going to ask a couple of my friends, let's do this, it ain't going to be to take my kids to the grocery store, it's going to be to go to the beach or the park, right? Like somewhere fun. So I'm like, I save my help. I try not to ask a lot over the weekends and things because they help me through the week. But I'm like, if I'm going to recruit some of my helper's special selfless time, then it ain't going to be to go to the, get a loaf of bread. It's going to be like to go to the bloody circus or something. I don't know.
Absolutely. And people listening will have 1 2-year-old that has never been to the grocery store because of the beauty of click and collect.
Yeah,
so
right?
you're in good company. Yeah. One other question that I just wondered about as you were speaking then about recruiting helpers, have you been able to do everything so far with the help of friends and family, or have you had to actually have paid help come into the home?
No paid help, and we're super blessed. There was a few things locally, like the Red Cross and maybe like some emergency care company, but fortunately we never had to use them. We have just been able to do it with immediate family, close friends, and then, like, for example, one of my helpers who comes every week, she's one of my good friend's mum, so her kids are grown up, or, you know, my other friend, she only works part-time. So it's just people that have the capacity to help us. And like I said, they're not helpers. They're our friends now. We really class them a part of our family. But we have been very lucky to not have to pay for help financially. It's tough. Like, we're on one wage. I obviously get a little bit of money from Centrelink as well. But just on the one wage, yeah, we're very lucky. We don't have to pay for help, or haven't had to pay for help.
That's amazing. You are such a breath of fresh air. And I said it as soon as you came onto the screen. I was like, oh, you're really beautiful. Like, you just have such a beautiful energy. And then I went, oh, that's probably not appropriate to comment on that. But I just meant, like, you're so sparkly. you're just an absolute pleasure to speak to and get to know. Where can our listeners connect with you and follow your journey as well?
Yeah, so I publicly share, as I said, I'm an open book, sometimes too open. So Kiki in the Quads is my Instagram handle, and I just share my daily life. It's a little bit about me too, because I love my training and things, and I still like to share that, even though a lot of people tell me they're on my platform purely for my kids. It's still me, and, you know, one day my kids will grow up and I'll still be me. So be prepared to see things about myself as well. But I share a lot of crazy mornings, cute nights, and yeah, everything in between of our daily life of five kids under the age of four.
You're doing an incredible job. Thanks. Like truly, truly an incredible job. And I will put your Instagram handle in our show notes so that all of our listeners can jump over and have a glimpse into your beautiful family life. But thank you again so much. I know that today is like your one kid-free, I was going to say kid-free day, but it's not really. Like the school day is not a kid-free day. It's just like a 5-hour window.
And yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
at best. And it goes far too fast, right? Like days when I've got all my kids, it's like dragging on.
Never ending.
Like one kid-free day. I'm like, it blink and you'll miss it. 30 already.
Absolutely. Well, I will let you get back to that day. But again, I'm so grateful for your time, and I'm sure everyone will jump over to check out your beautiful family.
Thank you for having me.
This is what I want. This is what I need. If you don't have to go, I can set you free. Are you gonna make a move? Are you gonna come and see? Whatever you wanna do, you know it's cool with me. Whisper in the dark. Whispers in the dark. You come to play, don't you? Looking for something new. I got a lot underneath, tricks up my sleeve. You got some magic in you. I got some good news. I know how to handle it. I believe in what we can do. Would you come to my party? If I had one in the lobby of the hotel down the street, tell everyone that you meet that I'm just chilling like a villain with my champagne and my feelings. I just wanna show you off to my new friends down the block.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.